Hey, it's Sue McLaughlin. Welcome back to Stop Guessing, Start Testing. I'm curious, how was 2025 for you? I have seen so many people, I've lost count of the number of people who've said that 2025 was a bit of a shite year. A weird year, a funky year, all the things, but generally I haven't heard a whole lot of positive. And for me personally, it kicked my butt as well. I found myself getting stuck way more than normal. I stopped launching things. I didn't even know what to launch. I stopped posting for periods of time. And even though I am a strategist who helps others make decisions, because it is always so much easier when you're doing things for other people, I stopped making them for myself. And I think it was a bit of a combination of changing a whole lot of stuff in my business at the end of 2024, because I had been in a period of burnout during 2023, recovered from that comeback and just went back to the same old patterns and habits that put me into burnout in the first place. So I did some changes, made some pivots, and then I think I just got stuck in that trying to make the next thing that I did perfect. And so everything was second guessed. Everything I wasn't sure about, I went back and forth and kept coming up with ideas, but I wasn't sure if any of them were right. And because of that, it just kind of left me in this perpetual feeling of limbo. I had months go by where I didn't even really know what I wanted to say. So sadly, I had ghosted my email list, social media, and it kind of left me feeling in a bit of a funk. So I defaulted to my beloved safety blanket, teaching Kajabi. It is something that I have been doing since 2020. Kajabi teaching is still something that I love, but I've always wanted to do more and I just never quite figured out what that more thing was. So I went back to teaching tutorials and working with people to get their Kajabi platforms set up, which is great. However, there wasn't anything new. I still didn't know what that was going to look like going forward. And I kind of got really frustrated because it was hard to know exactly what to do next. I felt like I had to know and kept seeing all these messages on social media, email, YouTube. It felt like everywhere I turned, it was this kind of message of doom of everything is changing. Like, what are you going to do to change the way you do business to cope with the change in the world? And to be honest, it also probably came with a bit of a side of fear. What if I'm not going to be able to keep up with all this change? I mean, even if you look at how much AI has changed, even in the last year, it is astronomical. And so it kind of had this feeling alongside of, oh, what am I going to do next? What am I going to launch next? What's my next, you know, product going to be? With this whole I hope that I'm going to be able to make something relevant, and do I need to pivot to some sort of AI thing like so many people have, because that's the new trendy thing? I mean, honestly, I only thought that for a week or two, but it also kind of made me wonder, with seeing how much AI has taken over social media, is the things that I was seeing and hearing and kind of feeling like that message of doom, was that reality or was that just people creating content for clicks? Because all of that drama is what gets clicks and it's what gets attention. And I am sure that there are people just kind of jumping on trends and creating that bot and avatar AI content just because people talk about it. You know, every time I would see people I know having the conversations, it was this underlying kind of sense of fear about what's going to happen. And yeah, it just really got me thinking, is there this massive change that's going to disrupt everything? Or are some of the underlying fundamentals still working really well? And again, the challenge is when you seek that information out, there's just so much conflicting advice around. And when people are selling programs and methods and all of this kind of stuff, obviously they have a bias to sell what works for them. But does it work now? Or is it what worked, 2020, 21, 2022, in the past? And so I kind of figured, well, I need to find out. I want to know what is working. And all of that was kind of happening at the same time as I had those, you know, when you get to around that time where it's like, oh my God, it's Black Friday. That means it's the end of the year and nearly Christmas and it's going to be 2026. And when I saw, you know, these kind of emails, like, what are you doing for 2026? I had a bit of a moment of panic because I had that end of year scare where I was like, well, what have I actually done this year? And to be honest, with all of that hiding and all of that not sure what I was going to do and, you know, disappearing off socials and email for stretches of the year, I was seeing a reflection in my revenue. It certainly was not where I wanted it to be. And I decided to do something about it. So I kind of had this like, all right, what are we going to do? Like we being me and myself, kind of day with myself where I just thought I went and walked and journaled and dumped my brain into ChatGPT just to kind of verbal process everything out. And out of all that sort of stuff, I kept coming back to the idea of what did I do when I first started, when things felt like they were rocking and rolling and when stuff just happened. And I realized there was a really common thread that I was less worried about trying to get the perfect thing because it was all a bit newer and I just tried a heap of things. I was like, oh, I saw someone doing a challenge. I might do a challenge, you know, like, oh, I'm going to give webinars a go. My first go at webinar was terrible. What can I learn to make it better? And, you know, then learned how to do webinars and made significantly better webinars, which worked and performed and just kept testing and trying workshops and mini courses and a big signature program and coaching offers and service provider offers. And it was a bit of a period of throwing spaghetti at the wall, I must admit, but it was also a whole lot more fun and I had a lot less pressure on myself for things to work. And I also kind of looked back as to what had changed in the last few years, like what had changed during 2023, 2024, and for most of 2025. And I realized that when I had come out of that period of burnout, I was so determined to kind of eke my way back into the world. I had dropped off doing something that was pretty critical. And I don't think I even realized that I had stopped doing this as much. Like, you know, I've been in business for a really long time. So there's probably a part of my brain that naturally does some evaluation without sort of consciously thinking about it. And, you know, I have got that strategist brain where I want to know why things worked, but it was more of an unconscious kind of consideration rather than actually mapping out numbers and seeing data. And I think what happened is that was all the things that I did and tried, and especially when I was coming into 2025 feeling like I wanted to do something new but I didn't know what that new thing was, that process of collecting data and information and actually checking in with the logical part of my brain had fallen off. And all of these decisions I was making when I was scrapping things before they had kind of even really been released, like, it's a little sad when you look in the back of my Kajabi and see how many really glorious sales pages there are. I spent far too much time in 2025 creating beautiful sales pages for products that never saw the light of day. And who knows, maybe they'll come back, maybe they will stay in draft forever. But I wasn't actually getting data. I wasn't doing the things that I always tell my clients to do. I wasn't doing the things that I had done in the past. I wasn't going to my audience and validating. I wasn't putting things on like an early access or a pre-order or anything like that to test if people would buy it. I was just making assumptions and getting very, very stuck in my feelings and the emotions. And that is not the best place to make business decisions from. I mean, there is absolutely a place for gut instinct. You know, that is a huge driver for me, but in the past I've backed my gut instinct up with some kind of logical information, data gathering, metrics, something. So it's not just a gut instinct. And I had this, I wish that I still had it. It's somewhere buried in my storage shed, but I did a program from Elizabeth Goddard. I think it was back in 2019 actually. And it was where she sort of went through this series of, I wonder what would happen if. And at the time, she sent out this little cute thing with it in the mail. And that thing sat on my desk for, you know, the entire time until I became a digital nomad. In fact, I'm almost tempted to go and drag it out of the storage shed if I could even find it, just so I could take it around with me. And it was this cute little black fluffy thing, and it had a message on it that said, I wonder what would happen if. And, you know, that... I wonder what would happen if mindset, I think, has fallen off for me. I think it's that whole, I need to know what will happen, instead of getting back to that place of wondering and trying and testing. And those kind of things where you wonder what would happen can sometimes be the best places of inspiration. So when I was going through that whole November, wait, what is going on? I am not going through another year. Like, next year, I am determined to turn this ship around. When I was going through all of that, and I went into that, I wonder what would happen if, like, it was like all sort of, you know, all these thinkings and all these ideas and all the stuff that I had gone through kind of coalesced and clicked into place. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if my word of 2026 was experiments, and I stopped trying to do things to find the perfect thing. And I stopped stalling on releasing things because I wasn't sure if it was going to work, and tweaking as I went and getting out minimum viable versions of things. I just wondered if what happened if I just made it all a giant experiment. And then I got really excited about that idea. And I was like, all right, that is what I'm going to do. I am going to experiment with things, and I'm going to document them. I'm going to actually do debriefs, look at the metrics, actually kind of journal on and write down what worked and what didn't and what I would change, so that I could look back and have more than just feelings. I could have data, because another really bad trap that I fall into, and maybe you do as well, is even when I have what I would call success, even when something works really well, I often don't celebrate that success. I don't look back on it and look for all the, like, yeah, that went really well. It's really easy to then move on to the next thing. Like, all right, well, that worked. What are we doing next? And so part of that was, yeah, wanting to have a record where I could look back on wins, and also where I could look at, instead of seeing things maybe as failure, it was more like kind of taking that attitude of, well, if I'm experimenting, then I can't fail. If I'm testing, then there doesn't need to be all this emotional attachment to the outcome. It's like, all right, what's happening? And trying to get into that logical brain a bit more, because I am 100% more on the creative side. I am not a spreadsheet person. I don't love spending hours kind of diving into numbers. I do like, you know, little numbers and basics. And I know how many people that I work with aren't tracking pretty much anything. And I kind of thought, well, wouldn't it be really helpful if I shared that? And I told a couple of friends about it, and they were like, oh yeah, that would be amazing. Just because the insights that you get from looking at someone, testing things, trying them, see what happens, you know, because so many other people as well are wondering what does work now in this, you know, in this new changing doom and gloom world. Is it doom and gloom, or do some of those fundamentals still work? I mean, my theory is that some of those fundamentals are still rock solid, and maybe some tweaks might need to be made, but I really look forward to putting that to the test. So I decided, all right, this isn't going to just be something that I do for me. I am going to open this up, and again, inspired. I feel like Lizzie has been a bit of inspiration. The doc, she does this thing where she does a Google Doc and documents her weeks. I kind of really love the concept, but I was like, I don't know if I'm excited enough. I don't know if I, you know, that would be particularly valuable. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be journaling for myself, what if that is part of the process? What if I sell this as a package of debriefs, and also that journaling that I want to do for myself and keep for myself is something that I can share as I'm doing it, not only as a way that I can look back, but also as a way for other people to be able to get benefit from, this isn't working, here's what I'm going to do instead. Or, hey, this is working really well, so I'm going to stop doing that thing and put more energy into this thing. Like, whatever it is that I do and tweak and change, like all of those observations in the moment can be really, really crucial and valuable. So I decided, all right, I'm going to share it. And that was kind of one of those brave moments where I just went, all right, I'm doing this, and announced it, because I haven't been someone who shares things before. I was always, envious. I remember, back in the day when I first got into, digital products and that kind of thing, following Pat Flynn and when he used to share his income reports on his blogs. And I used to love looking at that kind of stuff and learn from it when they would share, what they did and how much money they made from it and different things. And I always love debriefs. Every time I've ever seen any kind of debrief, I've always had at least one really, really valuable takeaway for it. But I've never done it. And that feels pretty, pretty challenging. I'm even as I'm just saying it, I'm getting that like nervous feeling. But I also understand how valuable it is to show everything, to show when something doesn't work and then what I'm going to do about it. Because if someone comes to me as a client and, has, something that isn't working, I will be able to help them and I will share my ideas with them. And I was like, what would be even more valuable is for people to see me sharing my own ideas with myself and kind of understanding. And I'm a huge believer in understanding the why behind why something works or doesn't, not just that it works. Because if you know why something works or something doesn't, then you can do more of it. You've got the data and the information, so you can spend more time doing that and less time doing something that you've got data showing maybe isn't working as well. And not just that, I think it's just a crucial skill for a curious person to dive a bit deeper than the surface level. And I am absolutely misquestioned when it comes to that. So I'm kind of putting all of that into one beautiful package and sharing it all. And I'm definitely committed to sharing it honestly and openly, even when that's hard and challenging and maybe it's a little bit vulnerable. But I feel that that's where the most value is going to be. The debriefs are going to be awesome. I am absolutely dying. I wish I could, fast track some of the experiments and get straight to the answers, because I think it's going to be really cool to see some of these tests that I'm doing. Some are like smaller, short tests. Some are things where I'll do something at the beginning of the year and then track it through the year to see how it performs. If it's, potentially more search related or something where the impact might go over a longer period, because doing things sustainably and in a burnout proof way is definitely high on my agenda. So I want to see what things will work that will continue to work even when I'm not working, because that I feel is the key, not having to be there every single day. But I'm also really looking forward to testing the bigger things. Like the big experiment that I'm going to do for the year is looking at the fundamentals of our industry, selling a course and then doing that in different ways. So selling the same course and setting up an evergreen funnel for that, and then tweaking and changing the evergreen funnel through the year to see what changes, but then also comparing that to doing something live, like comparing evergreen versus live, and not just from a straight up numbers perspective, from an energy perspective, like what do I enjoy most? What takes the most out of me? What do I feel is the most sustainable, as well as the numbers and the data on sales and how live versus evergreen works. To make it kind of an even test, I'm going to do both of them with a webinar. So a live webinar versus a recorded webinar. I am also, though, going to do some tests where I take that same course and I sell it in two different ways. So I want to test whether A course is going to sell better if it has some kind of live component, even if that live component is more expensive, versus selling it as a self-study program. Can self-study courses still sell where there is no personal impact? Because that is, you know, been a huge message that I have seen, whether it's rhetoric or whether it's true. We are, you know, we're going to find out, because courses are dead is something, you know, like I have lost count of the number of times that I've seen that. But again, is that the truth, or is that just people's predictions, or where people think that the industry is going to go with AI? Because I haven't seen as much actual, you know, data and information, people selling the same course in the same way 1 year to the next and saying, hey, this isn't working, people aren't buying, but then looking into what is actually causing that to happen. Like, was it from a change in the way that they were selling rather than the course itself? So that's going to be one of the big tests that's going to run right throughout the year. And then so many other little micro tests. My ideas brain is going on turbocharge. I keep popping new ideas into the 2026 experiment community almost every day. Because like every time I go for a walk, I'm like, oh yeah, what about that? Oh, what about that? I don't know if I'm going to do everything that is in the ideas area. I'll certainly be picking the things that have the most interest and some of the things that I'm most curious about. But the whole thing is going to be kicking off basically on January 1st. It is an experiment that is going to be running all year, a series of experiments. And if it sounds like something that you would like to be part of, it would be really cool if you came and joined me. Whether you are curious just to see the results of all the tests and have like a bit of a treasure chest of debriefs, or whether you want to be part of it and follow along as I'm documenting and journaling everything and sharing the in the moment stuff. Either way, it's going to be incredibly valuable. And you might even hopefully get inspiration to run some of the same tests that I'm doing in your own business as well, because that's part of why I wanted to open this up and invite people in, because the amount of inspiration / mojo change, like change in attitude, change in just how I'm feeling about everything since I decided that experimentation was going to be the thing that I'm doing next year, rather than worrying about what this right next thing is. It really feels like I'm being some kind of cheesy person in saying this, but it was a light bulb moment. And I know that that is an overused cliche, but it really feels like it was so true. It's since that moment, since I decided, right, that's what I am doing, everything has changed. I feel so much lighter. I'm so curious. I'm so inspired. And I really hope that, you know, coming at things from that different, less pressure, less worried about getting it right angle, I'm hoping some of that energy can rub off on you if you are inside the experiment. So not only an opportunity just to learn from the insights, but to be part of it and then hopefully, get your experimentation muscle geared up and do more testing and less stressing in your business. The very first event of the year, as well as me starting the experiments, is a debrief, which is happening on Sunday, January the 4th. If you are listening after then, that replay will be in the community. But I will be sharing what I've learned from launching the 2026 experiment itself, a brand new program, a format that I've never done before, kind of a new adjacent, new audience, but adjacent, but not a Kajabi thing, which is what I've pretty much been leaning on for the last few years. So, there was so much new about it, and definitely, oh my gosh, I have learned so much. I'm going to be sharing what I did, how it worked, what changes that I made, why I decided to even create this podcast as part of the launch, and that is going to be what's happening on Sunday. So I really hope that you can join me and get that entire year of my business strategist brain being downloaded, and you can learn the why behind the decisions and hopefully start experimenting yourself. If you would like to join me, theunicornadvisory.com/2026 is the place to go. You can go to that page, sign up, and be part of it. It's going to be epic. And yeah, I hope that testing is something that you can get on board with, because I'm ready to say goodbye to the funk. I'm ready to say goodbye to not having any idea what is going on in this industry, and getting some more solid data. And I'm looking forward to sharing it all with you.